This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Is it strange I call you? Or do you think that I might forget all my love? It's radiating further away.
You're with the priest, the pom, and the poof on the Spirit Lounge, the show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community.
Good evening and welcome. You are with Bertie, Joy and Andrew, the priest, the pom and the poof.
It's another Monday night.
It is. And tonight, what have we got happening, Andrew?
We are catching up with Jared and Ricky, and we're going to be talking about Judaism.
So if you have anything to contribute, any questions, we'd love to hear from you over the next hour. And you can SMS us on 0427 549 949 or phone us on 1300 JOY 949, and Robert will take your call. And we're on air at joy.org.au if you'd like to send us an email.
And we're also going to talk to Michelle from Freedom to Be, who's got a big announcement.
Hot off the press, eh?
It is. Mm-hmm. You will hear it here on Spirit Lounge first.
Fantastic. So let's start off with some music. Wow, and good evening. Yes, you are you are on the Spirit Lounge with the priest, the pom and the poof, and we've all been dancing around the studio to that. I just think of Fiddler on the Roof and Topol, I have to say, but I'm showing my age. And that's wonderful. That was Hava Nagala by Andre Rieu, which is kicking off our evening. We are joined by Jared and Ricky, who are going to share their thoughts on the Jewish faith tonight and how it's been for them. So welcome, guys.
Hi. Hi, thanks for having us.
Good to have you here. Now, you were singing along to that because I think there's some words to it. Where do you hear that music?
I was. Bar mitzvahs, uh-huh. Israeli dancing, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a song of joy, so it reminds me of bar mitzvahs, weddings, any kind of happy occasion, really.
Happy occasions. And what were the words you were saying there?
I think the words are Hava Nagila and some other words, but basically it just means be happy. Someone mentioned don't worry, be happy, and that's it.
Yeah, that's a Jewish version of don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Well, it's very exhilarating, I have to say. That's great. We're all out of breath. So welcome, guys. And so how do you two know each other, first of all?
Well, how do we know each other?
We met in school, and then Jared moved to another school for a while. We had a brief break. And
we
then
caught the bus together.
Mm-hmm. Found each other out one night and have been friends again ever since.
Did that mean you got expelled from the other school, Jared?
No, it's
tell
not
us
as,
all.
Not as exciting as that. I just changed schools, actually. Oh. We're in different years as well, but yeah, same bus. And
now, did you go to Jewish school?
Yes, I went to a Jewish school from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. And I went like halfway through. Mm-hmm. In year nine, I changed.
And so that your secondary education was just a regular mainstream school?
Yeah.
Yeah, Melbourne. So was that a decision that you made or your parents made for you? Or
It was, I guess, my decision and my parents, yeah.
And for what reasons did you not carry on in the Jewish school?
I don't know, I just wanted to try another school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Different experience.
Yeah, and I heard, like, my my dad went to that to this school as well, to Melbourne High. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
All right. So but following.
That's a pretty good state school, though.
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of where I went. So
I mean, you've got to be pretty academic to get in there, even. To,
yeah, so he followed in dad's footsteps, as often is the way. Yeah.
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 So did you go on to university, or are you at university?
I'm finished. I finished last year.
Yeah. And what did you do?
I'm a dentist now.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, that's useful.
Yeah. And Ricky, did you go to university?
Well, after I finished school, I did my Bachelor of Commerce at Melbourne Uni. Finished that last year and have changed track now and doing my Master's in Construction Management.
Wow.
Oh, that's a bit of a change.
It's not quite so useful, actually, is it?
Well...
Oh, I might build a house one day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you ever construct something.
Yeah, no, you might be useful. I'll have your card as well before you go. Now, look, I've back home in London, where I'm from, I've got some of my very closest friends are Jewish. So I've been exposed a little bit to the Friday night dinners and synagogue and been to a few weddings. And did your parents raise you, question to both of you, in a very orthodox fashion or quite relaxed?
Well, I grew up in South Africa, which is a bit of a unique Jewish community in the sense that it's quite orthodox in terms of observing the rules, but also quite progressive in terms of lifestyle. So, yes, I would say I was raised in a modern orthodox home, which continues until now. Mm-hmm. Sort of goes in waves in terms of religion in my family. Sometimes people are really religious. Other times we go off for a bit and then jump back on a bit later.
Yeah.
Is there a big Jewish community in South Africa?
It was a very large one. I'm not sure of the numbers, but basically following early 1900s, a lot of Lithuanian and other Eastern European Jews came to South Africa, lived very well there for about 100 years. But then sort of from the 70s onwards, people started to leave. So today it's small, but still vibrant, I think.
Yeah.
You're from the Lithuanian?
Yeah, my background? Would be Lithuania, Latvia, all of that kind of mixed up area.
Okay. Wowee. And whereabouts in South Africa were you raised?
Johannesburg.
Ooh, quite a place.
Yep, yep. Exciting place to grow up.
Very, yeah. And what about you, Jared?
My background?
Yes.
I'm a mix. Polish grandparents and Russian and British.
Wow.
But yeah, my parents are Australian and, some came here before the Holocaust and then my nana survived the Holocaust.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing backgrounds for everyone, huh? We're quite an international team this evening, aren't we?
We are.
And we've got a Kiwi over here.
And Andrea, a Pom there.
A Muck Pom. Andrew, you're our only Aussie. Oh, he hasn't got a microphone, so he has to nod or shake his head. You're shaking your head. You're not Australian.
Only half.
You're half Australian.
Oh. Well, there's a story actually in my family where my grandparents, I think from Russia, had family in South Africa and they wanted to get to South Africa, but they ended up going to New Zealand and then coming to Australia after. And they didn't have enough money to go back to South Africa, so we're kind of all linked in there, aren't we?
Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing through the course of time how much travel our forefathers certainly have done, isn't it? For perhaps not always through choice, of course. But anyway, it's great chatting to you guys. Stay with us because we've got lots more to talk about, and we are going to have our next piece of music. Now, this is your choice, so would you like to introduce it?
Yep, sure. This one's called Mima Makim. It means out of the depths, based on the psalm called Out of the Depths, and it's by Idan Reichel, which is a Israeli cooperative music group which brings together people from all backgrounds, races, and makes music.
Wonderful.
And you're in Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof. And we're talking with Rick and Jared. Now, Ricky, you've been told by someone, we don't know who, that you've got a sexy voice.
Well, thank you.
So I think I'll address the next question to you
first.
It's
not the first time I've heard that.
You have a secret admirer listening.
So they're sitting out there listening, hanging on your every word. So what was it like to be brought up in the Jewish faith for you?
Well, I think it was wonderful. Special privilege, actually. in terms of the way we celebrated Judaism, it was more of a taking a celebratory angle. So we certainly had all the festivals and all the regular things. And with that comes with a special emphasis on family. And so there was just a great way to grow up, I think. There was never any negative or pushing away other things. We're still fully integrated into general society and was just like an added extra.
What about for you, Jared?
Yeah, like I agree as well. You know, it's pretty open, learnt a lot of different things. But yeah, I was thinking about the other day, when you do get brought up in a certain religion, it does shape your way of thinking. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of like believing God. It's something that's just intrinsic. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's just because it's just there from day one that that's the way things are. But I don't know.
Yeah. Does it develop, though, over time for you?
Definitely, yeah. Because you have to kind of integrate other things and whether things, you know, are compatible and, you know.
And you need at some point to own it as your own faith, don't you, rather than a family faith?
Oh, well, I think Judaism is, at its very core, a family experience. So everyone takes from it what they want and practices in the way that they feel best. But really the main aspect, for me at least, is spending that time with family, not so much the laws of the Jewish faith, but certainly spending the family time and the family values that come with that.
I must admit, all the Jewish people that I know in the world today, no matter where, they do have a very tight family unit, a very close family unit, and that's definitely the grounding, I think, that it gives them. Would you agree?
Well, I don't know that many in the world, I must confess, but I think it's a great thing because I think that people need families, and I think it's great because I understand from talking to you before that your family is accepting of your sexuality.
For me personally, I think it was a bit of a shock at first, but after the first few weeks to months, things were just as usual. I think some of them are listening right now. Sorry.
What about you, Jared?
Yeah, it's kind of a gradual thing, even just like quite new for them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as far as I know, everyone's cool with it. So
yeah, which is lovely, lovely to hear. Very reassuring. We hear so many different stories from people sometimes, you know, even in the world today.
Especially that people come from a religious background. Often their parents and family can't actually cope.
In my family in particular, like my grandparents are quite religious, but you know, my parents are more secular and
Is there an issue in more orthodox Jewish families if their children came out as gay and lesbian?
I think it really depends on the family. We've all heard sort of horror stories that exist in any religion of being, you know, kicked out of home and so on. For me personally, I think I came from quite an observant family, but I've never had any kind of discrimination or difficulties, really ever. I mean, my doctor is also a rabbi. I still see him on a regular basis, and that's just the way it is. But yeah, I suspect that in the more, more orthodox communities, it may be a bit more of an issue.
It'd be much harder, I reckon, for them, definitely. And yeah, we were talking about it before, that there's a documentary, Trembling Before God, and it details, you know, the struggles of homosexual men and lesbians as well, and from religious backgrounds, and how they live their lives in secrecy, and it was a really good film.
And is this set in Israel, or?
Yeah, it was actually, I think, yeah.
Fascinating, because we were reading, in fact, just the other week, we were reading in the gay press that obviously the Jewish faith certainly seemed to be supporting gay marriage, which was lovely to hear. Do you hear much about that when you're in synagogue or when you're chatting with your friends?
Well, I actually saw that article and it was very pleasing to see. I think it was the Reform or Progressive rabbis that issued that statement. It's certainly not the case in the more orthodox streams of Judaism, but there does definitely seem to be a move in that direction. So, yep.
Yeah. Which is great. It's just keeping up with the times, isn't it?
So do you have gay rabbis that you know of?
I don't think any in Australia. I mean, Jared and I were at Mardi Gras this year and we went to a Reform synagogue. The rabbi wasn't gay, but the rabbi was a woman, which is very unusual as well.
Oh.
And I suspect in some of the other big Jewish centres there would be. New York, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
There was a male up there as well, though. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He had a rainbow flag on his, you know, on his T-shirt, which I wasn't expecting. And the whole service was actually tailored towards, like, gay people, gay persecution, and which was really, I was like, didn't expect it at all. It was really good.
And this was obviously geared up because it was Mardi Gras weekend. Yeah,
yeah, it was a Mardi Gras special at Friday night. There was the Israeli ambassador, a few special guests, so it was a really nice night.
Wow, how many people attended that?
It was packed.
Yeah.
A few hundred?
Yeah, it was packed full of people.
So how was Mardi Gras for you? First time, huh?
Yeah, first time. It was good, yeah. It was. Everyone was a bit older, I think.
Did you march?
We've been offered to.
Yeah, we didn't this year, but the Sydney gay and lesbian group, can't remember what it's called.
Dayenu.
Dayenu, yeah. They always have a very big and successful float. And last year they had Ivri Leder, who's an Israeli superstar, marching with them. So, yeah, maybe in the years to come.
Ooh, you'll be on the float, marching, strutting. I won't say mincing. Oh, I said it.
Oh, how rude you are.
I know. And we were talking earlier as well about kibbutz, because we were all sitting around just having a chat before we came into the studio. And, of course, I mean, Joy was just saying, your brother went to a kibbutz. My brother landed up going to a kibbutz. And, of course, one forgets.
None of them Jewish, but they went there anyway.
None of them are Jewish. But, yeah, so have you been to kibbutz?
I've spent some time on a couple of kibbutzes. I've never stayed and worked, unfortunately. But I've been on a kibbutz that makes furniture, another one that trains horses for the riding with the disabled. So it's really varied and really a fantastic way of life.
Hmm. And are they all, they're all in Israel, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, they were originally set up as the sort of border posts before the state was established. So that's how they came about.
The ones that I've been to, they seem to be, in my opinion, dying a little bit just because there's no young people there. Mm-hmm. You know, the trade that they were once doing is now outsourced somewhere else. There isn't much going on. The ones I've been to. Yeah, so.
Fascinating. Well, let's move on and have the next track. Now, which of you would like to introduce this? Because this is your choice.
I'll go for it. This is by Ivri Leder, who we were talking about before. So, Israeli pop star. And he sang this song for a movie called The Bubble, which is really great. I recommend it. And it's called Man I Love.
Someday he'll come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong.
And you are on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Puff. We're here every Monday night from 9 till 10. And we're joined by two delicious young men, Ricky and Jared. And we're talking about Judaism and the Jewish faith and what it's like to be raised in that faith. And, of course, Ricky in South Africa and Jared in Melbourne. And that song was from the film called The Bubble. And, you know, I've never heard of The Bubble.
Bubble is a great movie. Can't recommend it enough. Mm-hmm. Definitely should watch it. It's directed by Eitan Fox. He's done a couple of movies, Yossi and Jagger and I think Walking on Water.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just a story about an Israeli soldier and a Palestinian and their story. And there's a really good twist at the end, so I won't spoil it.
Is it based on a book? Explosive. Or do you know? Is it based on a book?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so. I think Eitan Fox actually writes his own movies, maybe wrong.
Yeah,
But they all tend to explore Jewish, gay, Palestinian, Jewish themes.
Oh my God, okay, sounds good.
They're intense, yeah.
Sounds great. Well, that was a great song. So while the music was playing, we were talking about Israel and your experiences going over there. And I'll start with Ricky, because you've been to Israel a few times, yeah?
I have. I've been with my family, I've been on a school program and back with my friends. Still got a lot of friends who live over there.
Mm-hmm.
Great place. Wouldn't like to live there, but certainly for a holiday, it's fantastic.
Now, why wouldn't you want to live there?
It's a bit too intense for me, I think, living on edge all the time.
Hmm. Where are your friends based? Where do most of them live?
Mostly in Tel Aviv.
Right.
I think we have some family friends and distant relatives also in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jerry?
My experience was different there. I was a tourist, of course, mm-hmm. but I didn't feel on edge at all. It was completely different to what I thought it'd be like. Mm-hmm. You know, there were soldiers around. There's mm-hmm. Bodyguards at the entrance of every place to go in, looking, you know, and they do search you and things. But I felt completely free. I thought it was, you know, mm-hmm. it was not what I expected.
And
it was
this
really
was
good.
Tel Aviv, yeah?
Everywhere in Israel, but including Tel Aviv.
Right.
Yeah.
You were telling us that Tel Aviv is going to be the gay capital of the world.
Watch out.
tell us a bit more.
Well, it's secular. It's got a great nightlife. Mm-hmm. I went out at 12 o'clock and the clubs didn't open till 1. I mean, I thought that was crazy. And they're super clubs. They're like, that, you know, hundreds of people. You know, the place is awesome. And they just had a pride there recently and there were thousands of people that went. And, yeah, it's wow. There's talk of it being the gay capital of the world, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. When Jerusalem's, I'm so close, but...
So it takes over from San Francisco, Sydney, everywhere.
I take it the Pride March doesn't go from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Well, there's one in Jerusalem as well, but that was under fire, I know, a few years ago. I don't know now. Yeah.
So is Jerusalem less cosmopolitan and less free than Tel Aviv?
Oh, I think so. Jerusalem is far older. It's more than 5,000 yeah. years old.
Ancient.
Tel Aviv is just 100 years. It's a baby.
Oh, gosh, really? It's very young.
And so Tel Aviv is really based on the founding principles of Israel, which are also based on freedom for all. So it's just a crazy free city combined with kind of heat and beat of the Middle East.
You should be a travel writer. I'm on the next plane over there.
We went on to talk to you in that break about how you observe the Jewish faith now. And Jared, you go once a year to synagogue. And Ricky, I think you were 3 times a year, is this right?
Oh, something like that. Say 3 to 6 times maybe in a good year.
Sadly for me, it's 1.
So what is the...
Once if I'm lucky.
When do you go, Jared?
Well, there are the high holy days, which is, you know, more special. And, you know, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Day of mm-hmm. Atonement, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's more... It is more just tradition and, you know, the whole family goes. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Like at Easter for Christian.
At the moment for me, yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, everyone goes to church.
And but do you regard other things like Passover and you do Shabbat with your family on a Friday night and things like that?
Yeah, well, I see that completely differently because I think that's, you know, a family time mm-hmm. and traditions and everything like that. So it's a little bit different from the theism and, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
and
not also of it. Part of your faith, though, with those traditions and that you uphold on the...
Well, some of them are just remembering times in history, like when the Jews left Egypt and... you know, some even more recent. So, mm-hmm.
I think for me and many others, the formal kind of rituals, going to synagogue and so on, are really only a minor guideline to living a Jewish life. So I may only go a few times a year, but together with my family, we celebrate all of the festivals. And that's just not my immediate family, but cousins, second cousins, third cousins. Mm-hmm. I mean, many of my non-Jewish or secular friends wouldn't even know who their second cousins were.
Yeah.
But for us, they're sort of there every Friday night. So
yeah.
I think for me personally, that's a lot more important than the strict attendance at synagogue.
Pulls you all together. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many of your family are now in Australia and how many are still in SA?
On my mum's side, everyone is here. Mm-hmm. Except for a couple of cousins and aunties. And my dad's side, unfortunately, are all still over there. Mm-hmm. But we spend all our time together with the ones who are here, and it's just like back home, really.
That's really nice.
Yes, I've sort of run out of things to ask. I mean, it's been fascinating hearing your story. And I think Andrew had wanted us to talk a little more about the Torah and, yeah. So tell us, what is the Torah?
The Torah, as far as I know, is basically the same as in Christianity, just the First Testament of the Bible. Ah. So it's the holy word of God passed down to man, I think is the official...
Through Moses, is that...
Yes.
Yeah.
Moses would have received it at Mount Sinai. And then in terms of Jewish law, that's our written source, but there's also a very large oral tradition. mm-hmm. which has been passed down through the generations and was eventually written down and codified as well.
Mm. So what are the key principles which differentiate Judaism from other religions, in your opinion? Just, that's a big question, but just small answer. What are the key fundamental differences, do you think?
That is a big question, isn't it?
I know.
When you think about it, they are pretty similar. I mean, yeah. but...
Yeah, in terms of the monotheistic faiths, if that's the right word, I think they are quite similar. For me, the key differentiating factor is the community and family involvement. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to be Jewish by yourself. And aside from that, the more positive outlook on religion, which may not be shared across the board of Jewish streams, but certainly in my family, in my community, it's seen as a positive thing to be Jewish, mm-hmm. as opposed to a set of oppressive laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and certainly not a minority at all. Yeah.
Mm.
And were there lots of... did you make lots of friends at university and college and stuff like that? Lots of... do the Jewish people come together when you're in further education? Because you're not in your Jewish school anymore. You're just in, you know, whatever university you choose to go to.
Yeah, it depends, I think. For example, at Monash... Commerce law is full of Jewish people, so
well, they're very good business people.
they do all congregate, but I haven't come across that many in my course, and it's been a good opportunity to make some other friends as well.
Yeah,
even though my best friends, I think, are still from school.
Yeah,
I was in Adelaide, and there was hardly any Jews there. There's 1,000 Jews altogether, and about 30 my age.
Really?
And I was heading up the Jewish group there. There's organised Jewish groups in Victoria and there
yeah.
as well.
Yeah,
but yeah, pretty small, but.
Yeah, well, Adelaide's small. Adelaide's smaller, obviously, than Melbourne, so therefore everything's a bit smaller.
Exactly, yeah. And there's even less, you know, per
yeah.
thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it really important for you to be able to have those Jewish groups to mix in?
Well, I think certainly a nice to have, if not essential, but hard to say because we've never really experienced life without them.
Hmm.
So integral part of our being, really. And I'm not that actively involved anymore, but I think it's great to just have somewhere on campus where you're basically in your family.
And it's more of a social thing as well. So the more social things you have, the better. The more, you know, you can make friends in all different parts everywhere. Mm. So it does, it really does bring about your Jewish identity, the Jewish groups.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the function of them, but yeah.
And as Ricky says, it's nice that it's there. You can tap into it if you want to. Participate as much as you want to, but it's nice that it's there, yeah. Extended family.
Yeah, that's it.
Have we got another message, did you say?
We have.
Uh-huh.
We have a couple of messages. One of them tells us that Rabbi Steven Greenberg is a gay Orthodox rabbi in America. So, but you thought there might be gay rabbis.
Mm, could be.
And there's probably more female rabbis, I think, in America too. Nikki and Amy, they love the show, but they would like to request a Dana International song. And guess what's coming up next? And who's going to introduce the song, Ricky?
Well, next up we have a Dana International song. Dana International is an Israeli pop star who's also a transsexual, I think. She won Eurovision in 97 or 98 with the song Diva.
And now we have with us Michelle from Freedom to Be. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Michelle, just briefly for those who don't know what Freedom to Be is, can you tell them what your organisation is about?
Freedom to Be is a network of people that come from fundamental Christian backgrounds mainly, and we're a support organisation just to help to bring those people together to help them on their journey of reconciling their faith and sexuality.
And this was started originally in Sydney by Anthony Van Brown?
That's right. Yep.
And I read today that he's resigned.
He has, yeah. Anthony stepped aside and he finished at the end of June.
Has he gone on to bigger, better things, or he...
Oh, of course. Anthony always goes on to bigger and better things.
What, is he Prime Minister of America or something now?
Well, no, he's continuing his life coaching business. And for some people that may know, Anthony is a self-confessed gay ambassador. So he does a lot of church consultancy work and just working to try and be a bridge builder between the gay and Christian community.
Are things changing for the better in the, I guess, fundamentalist Pentecostal traditions?
Things are definitely moving forward. There's certainly a lot more churches that are prepared to listen and are prepared to have a bit more dialogue in the area of faith and sexuality. So having somebody like Anthony being able to devote his time to building those bridges is fantastic. And we have some amazing straight supporters, if you like, that are ministers and pastors of churches. So there's definitely a lot of people in the background moving to make the change happen.
Yeah, I mean, there certainly seems to be some churches where they accept gay and lesbian people, but it hasn't gone into leadership yet, has it?
Well, no, but slowly but surely. We certainly do have some key contacts within Pentecostal circles, but also Baptist and Anglican Uniting churches. And they're working behind the scenes to try and change, I suppose, and help to guide the leaders themselves within their churches.
Yeah. Now, Michelle, we believe there is some news hot off the press.
It is, literally hot off the press. It was quite timely that you invited me to come onto the show tonight, because it's just been released through our mailing system, an email, that I have stepped up as the new chairperson of Freedom to Be, which is very exciting.
Congratulations, Michelle.
Thank you.
That's a big role to take on.
It is a big role. It is a big role. But thankfully, there's a fantastic board and a great group of people working behind the scenes in Freedom to Be to make it easy for me to step into.
And it's good that it's moved from Sydney to Melbourne, isn't it, really? not that we're into that sort of...
Well, it does give the opportunity, because Freedom to Be has been very Sydney-centric in the fact that it was started there, and a lot of the people that were the foundation members were part of Sydney. But as you may know, my partner Linda and I have run the Melbourne base of Freedom to Be for about 4 years now. So it's great that we've been able to, you know, have a little bit of a shift there.
You've got a meeting on Friday night?
We do. We have a meeting every third Friday of the month, and this Friday we're showing a DVD called Fish Out of Water.
Right. What's that about?
Well, it's a documentary. Basically, the film breaks down the seven key passages from Adam and Eve to Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's presented through animated illustrations and interviews from both the lesbian and gay community and also conservative and progressive theologians from across the USA. So it's kind of an updated sequel to For the Bible Tells Me So, which some people may have heard of.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, how do people find out more?
Well, they can go to the website, which is freedomtobe.org, and it's the word freedom, the number 2, and the letter B. But apart from that, we meet at 7:30 at the Victorian AIDS Council building in Claremont Street in South Yarra.
Well, congratulations, Michelle, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me on.
Our next track is from our Artist of the Month, Liz Wright, and it's a very short track, but it's very boppy, and it's called Sweeping Through the City.
We'll go sweeping through the city, oh my Lord, where my loved ones
have gone
before. And we're gonna sit down by the bank of the river.
And this is the Spirit Lounge on Monday night on Joy 94.9. You're with the Priest, the Pom and the Puff. And we have two lovely guests with us tonight, Ricky and Jared. And we've been talking about the Jewish faith, which has been fascinating. Now, we've just had an email question in, which I'd like to put to you guys, saying, just wondering if you feel it's important to be with a Jewish partner. And that's from Brad and Gid.
Well, for me, I think the question is more about values and sort of compatibility. So personally, I might find that more in someone who is Jewish, and I guess that would be the ideal. But as we all know, the pool is quite small, so sometimes we need to look elsewhere. But absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, to you. And what about you, Jared? What do you feel?
Same. You know, Jewish person is the ideal, but it doesn't happen in Melbourne. Would I travel to New York or Israel to meet someone? Probably no. But if you lived there, there's so many Jews there, and like the odds are that you'd find someone there. So
Yeah. Well, I hope that answers your questions, guys. It'd be interesting to know what your opinion is. So if you can, we're on air for another 8 minutes. You can send us another email or SMS telling us about your particular opinion. But because I know a very, very dear friend of mine, David, back home in London, he actually met and fell in love with a Muslim lady. And Aisha, who is a very academic woman anyway, did the whole conversion thing, you know, so literally was locked away and can read Hebrew and did the whole conversion. Because I understand that it's in straight marriages, the children are brought up in the wife's faith. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So in Judaism, it's passed down from the mother.
Right.
Whereas in other religions, it's passed down from the father. So that can be quite interesting, depending on whose side you're on.
It can be, yeah.
And especially in Jewish families, they want you to marry a Jewish girl or vice versa. But yeah.
So do you think your parents would be more comfortable if you had a Jewish partner?
For me, probably not. No.
And what? Actually, here's a thought. What's the situation in the Jewish faith if in adoption and things like that?
Not too sure, actually. I know in Jewish faith, it's one of the sort of mitzvahs or good deeds to procreate and continue the faith. So whether you do that biologically or by other means, I think it's all good.
Okay, Andrew.
I was just going to say, if you've been enjoying the show, unfortunately, we have to pop off air. but you can catch us on the podcast. It's available through the Joy website, joy.org.au. Just follow the links through to the Spirit Lounge. Or you can go straight to our website, which is spiritlounge949.weebly.com. So that's weebly.com. And you'll be able to see, you'll be able to listen to our show and catch up with all the past episodes.
Check us out there. Well, Ricky and Jared, thank you very much for joining us this evening, because it's been fascinating. Thank you to everyone for listening. The next show is The Cubby House with Kevin, Jack and Cookie. And we're going to, after some advertising that I think we're playing, we're going to play out with the wonderful Diana Krall and The Look of Love.
And that's goodbye from the Priest.
And the Pom.
And the Puff.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.